And welcome to our Street Photographer of the Month for June 2019. I can't believe we're almost halfway into the year already. And our featured photographer this month is Sal Patilano, who is a master street portrait artist, and you'll learn more about it as we move on. And with me today, as usual, is my cohort, Ashley Hunsberger, the editor of the magazine. So how are you today, Ashley?
Doing good.
Yeah, me too. Summer is here in full swing. So anyway, yeah, like I said, our featured photographer this month is Sal Patilano. Sal is he's retired from the Hewlett-Packard Company, where he was, I guess, a financial analyst, financial planner in the big corporate world. But he has left the man, and he's retired, and now he spends his time on the streets documenting people's lives, and he does some really cool work. So hopefully you're going to take some time and look at it. But Sal, welcome.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. It's been a while. We probably booked this about 7 months ago. We get booked out in advance for feature photographers. And unfortunately for Sal, he just flew back to New Hampshire from Florida, and he's got a cold or laryngitis. So hopefully we're not going to make you strain your voice too much today, but really you're going to do most of the talking.
Okay, that's fine.
So we're not going to make you strain your voice, but we are.
But we're going to anyway. Yeah, I hope you have some tea with honey and lemon.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, good. So, Sal, why don't you give us a little bit of your background? Tell us about your journey in life and how you got to be such a prolific street portrait photographer.
I'm originally from Italy. I'm a naturalized citizen, and I came here when I was quite young, and I tell people that I am an Italian by birth, but an American by choice. And, I did my schooling here in the United States, obviously, did my undergraduate work in New Mexico, came back, started working, in the corporate world. As I said, real quick, I've always enjoyed photography. I think my mother bought me my first little plastic camera. That cost 99 cents at the old W.T. Grant department store in Somerville. I still wish I had it. So it's always been in my blood, and I've always, enjoyed, being behind the camera. And believe it or not, I've always been extremely shy growing up. And so I had no high school pictures taken, none in college. And every time I see a camera, especially around family, I always go the other way. But having said that, I 3 years ago, I said goodbye to the corporate world, and I got a camera, and I just started, walking the streets a little bit, because my doctor actually told me that I should walk, obviously. As you get older, you need to walk more. And so I figured I'd kill two birds with one stone. I could walk and try to meet some people. And the first one image that I took was in Davis Square in Somerville, Massachusetts, and it was a street artist who was sitting on the sidewalk, and I must have looked at him for about easily 20 minutes. Should I approach him? Shouldn't I approach him? Should I? Because I was really extremely shy, and finally I said, why not? I went up, we started talking, he let me take his picture, and really it just started, that's what really started, that one image with the eyes, I was hooked.
Yeah, the eyes. You nail it with the eyes every time.
Yeah. Well, is that what you were doing when you were a kid? Were you taking portraits of people?
No. Not at all. I've seen some images. There's one particular artist, that I follow on Flickr. His name is Alice Aduza, and he's also another one who inspired me quite a bit. But the reason why I go after the eyes, and the reason why I go after black and white, because obviously, my camera you know, records in color, and then I change it to black and white. But there is a Canadian photojournalist. I think he might still be alive. Ted Grant is his name. I don't know if you've ever, you know, heard of him, but he once said that when you photograph people in color, you photograph their clothes. He said, but when you photograph them in black and white, you photograph their soul. And it stuck with me so much that, you know, the black and white image, but I think it's those eyes that really tell you the story of who the person is.
Really, anytime I look at anybody's work, I just pay attention to words that pop into my head. As I look through yours, these words come to mind, like respectful, natural, unposed, humanity. These are just the words. And I think that's what you do. You really capture the humanity of these people.
Yeah, I thank you for that because it's true. Excuse me. You know, sometimes the folks that I meet, you know, sometimes they're in a good part of their life, and some of them, they're not in such a good part of their life. And I think we have to be, you know, respectful. And I think we have to, you know, really, we have to portray dignity when we talk to them. And that's what I do. I try to talk to everybody the same way, no matter what. But I'm mostly grateful that they actually allow me, you know, to take their portrait. I don't have a lot of time because, you know, I have about maybe 30 seconds and I have to talk to them. You know, I sort of tell them who I am, certainly with a smile on my face. I try to give them a handshake and I have to make them feel comfortable enough. You know, so they give up that image, they give up that face to me, and that I'm very, very fortunate. You know, that you know, nine times out of ten, I'll get an okay. You know, there's an occasion when they say no, and I just thank them and I walk away. But I think you really hit it on the nose: respectful and dignity and humanity. Those are all. That's what I'm trying to portray. You know, it's just that. We might look different, you know, on the outside a little bit, but I think, you know, we're all the same. We're all one on the inside, and that's the main message, you know, that I'd like to put across.
Yeah, I would add to that list of words even beauty, because mm-hmm. I feel like you're able to capture the beauty that each person has. I like to think everyone has something beautiful about them, and I really feel like you capture that.
Yeah, and you know, and what's amazing is, again, you know, I see a lot of faces when I walk. And usually, my day, you know, to do it is about, you know, 2 hours to 3 hours tops. You know, because after that, you know, I really like to go home and see what I've captured. But in that, you know, in that amount of time. You know, I see a lot of faces. I mean, a lot of faces. But then you see that one face, you know, and it just draws me, and I have to stop, and I have to approach that person. And I know that sometimes I'm going to get rejection, but that's okay. But you know, it's like somebody throws a little stone at you. You know, you have to turn around, you have to take action, and that's when I know that boy, this is another face that I want to photograph.
Wow. Do you feel less shy now? Is it easier for you to go up to people and approach them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have no idea. you know, I get asked all the time, hey, you know, I'd like to do that too, but I'm really, you know, shy. How do you do it? And I tell them, you know, the first thing really has to be, don't be afraid of rejection because you're going to get it. You know, treat people with respect. You know, tell them who you are. And I also tell them that a smile really, really helps. You know, you have to come across as, you know, non-threatening, obviously. But am I less shy? Absolutely. I mean, extremely less shy than I was even say 5 years ago. This has helped me. Yeah.
So how do you break the ice with people? Do you give them a compliment? Hey, I like your shirt. Interesting looking hat, things like that.
Yeah, Sometimes it could be, I could be, hey, you know, my name is Sal, and I tell them, you know, I'm retired, and I tell them the story. You know, I photograph people on the street. By the way, I saw your tattoos from, you know, across the street. You know, would you mind if I took, you know, a couple of images of you? And they'll say yes. You know, there was one gentleman you know, he's up there. It was in Ybor City, in just outside of Tampa. That's where I did a lot of my shooting over the past several months. And his name was William. And the first day, you know, he was kind of, you know, I don't want to say he lived in a shelter, and he didn't really want to be bothered with me. He wouldn't look at me. And so I went back the next day, and he was sitting in the exact same place. I asked him, I said, do you remember me? He said, yeah. I said, are you going to let me take, you know, can I take your image today? And he nodded his head. So I think that's what broke the ice, the fact that I went back the next day. And he was there, and, you know, and that's how I do it. You know, and the other thing, I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm trying to save the world, but I carry, you know, pairs of socks in my bag. Excuse me. And if I think somebody, you know, might need it, and again, you know, 99 times out of 100, I never try to make them, you know, I always say something like, you know, I happen to have an extra pair. Can you use it, you know? And sure enough, they say yes. And sometimes they'll actually, you know, take off their shoes and they have no socks on, you know. And that really, you know, it breaks my heart to see that. But it also makes me feel good at the same time, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's company, I think their name is Bomba. They make socks. They advertise them on podcasts,
yes, exactly.
And things. Yeah, yeah. And they learned that the item that is most requested at homeless shelter are socks. And so they started.
That's
They started donating a pair of socks to a homeless shelter every time you buy a pair from them.
Yeah, no, I believe that. I heard it from somewhere. That, you know, one of the most requested items in a shelter was socks, and that's when I started. I mean, it's only been about a year that I've been doing that, and you know, and in the month of March, there's a TV station, a PBS station in Tampa called WEDU, and they did a segment on me, and they heard about me. And they actually, you know, and they actually followed me around as I was taking images of some folks. And, you know, and I handed out, you know, a couple of pair of socks. But it is, it's so small, but it is the number one, you know, asked for item. And that's what I do now. You know, I carry, you know, 5, 6, 7 pair. And if I come across someone, I'll ask. They usually say yes, but. You know, they might say no, but,
yeah.
You know, that's the least I can do.
Well, that's funny. The public TV station followed you around. I had the same thing happen to me when I lived in Cleveland. It was actually last year. And I got a copy of the video. Did you get a copy of yours?
Well, it's not that I got a copy of the video.
Yeah, I mean a link to it.
They send me a link to it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So my family saw it and everybody was, you know, very pleased and happy. But, yeah, it was really humbling and it was really quite a thrill,
yeah.
You know, to be on it. But, yeah.
Well, you'll have to give us the link and we'll include it in the article so people can see it.
Okay.
I'd love to. Yeah, yeah, I want to see it anyway.
I'll send you the email. Yeah. And, yeah, I'll do that. You know, after we hang up, I'll send you the link.
In my experience, every time I try to photograph people, quick portrait on the street or whatever, they always give you this grin. But I know that's not what you're looking for. I'm sure you get
right.
The grin right out of the box. How do you get them to
yep.
The point where they give you these expressions?
Yeah, okay. In 30 seconds.
In
like you
30
said, that's
seconds.
So-
Okay.
Fast.
So I'm going to give you my secret, right? Really, this has been my the one thing that's helped me in photographing the type of images that I want to see. So basically, it's really, 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 really simple. And once they say yes, I say, listen, I tell them exactly, you know, try not to smile. But what I want you to do, try to tell me something about yourself, who you are, but tell me with your eyes. That's what I tell them. And that's my secret. That's all I tell them.
That is a really good piece of advice. Wow. And we can tell by your portraits that it works.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll get a person that you know, just can't hold, you know, hold back from a grin. And then, you know, I still take their image and I thank them. And, you know, and I always offer them my card. And, you know, if they send me an email, I always give them, you know, images. I never charge. I never make a penny off of my images. As I said, whatever I do sell, they either go to a food bank or they go to a homeless shelter. As I said, you know, I'm retired, so it's not that I really need the money, but that's what I enjoy doing.
Wow, that actually, hearing that from you added a lot of context to your images. I have your website open and I'm looking as we speak, and just knowing that adds something to the image for me.
Well, yeah, I'm glad it does, honestly, you know, because I'm really not doing it for the money. You know, if I did, I think I would be photographing something else. you know, it's images that I think people need to see. As I said, you know, there's some people that are, you know, that are pretty well-to-do, but it's those that are not so well-to-do that society has almost forgotten, but we can't forget them. You know, people are still people, and we have to, you know, as we said before, we got to treat them with dignity, but they're there, and we can't forget about them.
Well, I've got to ask you this question. We don't talk about gear a lot, but I'd like to know what you're using. Using a longer lens, obviously, a wide aperture. So what are you using? Camera, lens, most of the time.
Okay, yeah. So I was using a Nikon D800, and 3 years ago I switched to a Fujifilm. And you know, the lens that I use most often is a 110 f/2. I think, you know, incredible bokeh. And you know, the only thing is that I have to shoot it at least, you know, 1/250th of a second, you know, to try to eliminate any motion blur, you know, from the camera. So I like to go about twice the focal length of the lens with that, you know. But yeah, so that's basically what I use 99% of the time. Occasionally, you know, I use a 23mm, and then a 32-64. But the 110 is you know, my go to lens now.
Yeah, which Fuji body are you using?
Actually, I'm using the GFX 50S. Yeah, and everybody sort of says, well, you know, that's really heavy for the street. That's really heavy for the street. But
you're a portrait, you know, photographer.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, I mean, I could be using, you know, something else. You know, if when I was using my Nikon, the D800, you know, with a battery pack, a battery grip on that, it's probably just as heavy or, you know, just as light. I don't know which way you want to do it, but I don't find it, you know, heavy at all, you know.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I also shoot Fuji, but I've got the X-Pro2 and the X100F, so nothing as heavy duty as that one.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I can see, though, if you're coming from the Nikon, that's already pretty heavy.
yeah, exactly. But and that's collecting dust now. So, you know, I hardly ever use that anymore. So, you know, we'll see what will happen to that. But I'll probably just keep the glass and the body as, you know, as a memento, I guess. But
yeah, I was telling Bob, when I look at your images, one thing that kind of pops to me, which is, I've never had this happen to me before, is everyone's hair looks beautiful. Everyone. Even I told Bob, I'm like, even if it's beard stubble, it's, there's something about hair that you capture really well.
Yeah, especially, I know, especially some beards. Yeah, I don't know why, but I tell you, I think it looks exceptionally well in black and white. I mean, I can't tell you. I look at my color images, but they just don't have the same flair for me as black and white. And I think hair really comes out, much better in black and white than it does in color. Just my preference, you know.
Yeah, because you see, you're not paying attention to the color again. You're mm-hmm. just seeing how it frames the face or...
Exactly.
Maybe you notice the texture more, too. I think
yes.
that's true.
You do, actually. You really, really do. Once you eliminate the color, there really isn't much left, than black, white, gray, and texture. So... And you're right. I think it does accentuate, the texture, especially on the face, on the forehead, or around the eyes. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turns out really beautiful.
Are you shooting these wide open?
No, actually, Bob, I was shooting it at F2. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been about 5 months that that I've been going to about 3.2. Because mm-hmm. As I was saying, if I focus on either the left eye or the right eye at F2, two or three centimeters, one eye will be sharper than the other. So I'm just trying to give myself a little bit more depth of field with 3.2. But I tell you, at F2, it's absolutely a stellar lens. It's just incredible. Sharp as a tack. It's more me than anything else, because I'm not as steady as I used to be, But I would not be afraid to shoot it wide open. It's perfect for me.
Yeah, but wide open, yeah, you're going to miss a lot of shots. Yeah. Really cool. All right, I've got to ask another technical question. How are you doing the black and white?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How are you converting to black and white? What's your secret sauce?
Okay, the secret sauce.
Your black and whites look good enough to eat.
Well, you humble me really by saying that, and I'm so grateful, and I thank you. But again, this is my workflow, which is, I mean, I use Lightroom, okay, and mm-hmm. so I do a little bit of my adjustments, whatever. I always bring my highlights down 100%, a little clarity, just very, very minor, which I don't really do mm-hmm. a lot. And then again, the secret sauce, and I tell you, my million-dollar secret is I do a little bit of a black and white converting. I use Silver FX Pro.
Okay.
And that turns into black and white. And then, what I might do, I'll go through the list. I don't know if you've ever used a Silver FX Pro, but you can use, like the film type, mm-hmm. can use whether it's a Kodak or Ilford or Agfa. And I just go down the list and I just see which one that I think looks best. And, and that's basically, I don't do a lot of, of manipulation. And then from there, I send it back to Lightroom. And then I export it and I send it off to, either High Tech Imaging or a Bay Photo, to print them on aluminum. That's basically my secret. So Lightroom, a little bit of a Silver FX Pro, and then back to Lightroom.
It looks so consistent.
It does.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, if I was going to say it, the first one that it brings in there is called Neutral, okay? And then I think the one mm-hmm. under that is Kodak, and then I think another one is Ilford. I'd say 99% of the time, I use Ilford. I'm sorry, I use the Neutral. So, you know, because sometimes I think that the other ones, they accentuate, I think, the blacks a little bit more or a little bit less. But, you know, but 90, you know, a vast majority of the time, I basically use neutral. And then what I'll do is I'll take the, the grain all the way down to zero. Let's see what else. I that's about it. And then I send it back to Lightroom and I export it. And then, I'll upload it, to a lab and, for printing.
How many of your images are you printing?
Well, let's see. I've done beginning in June, I'm going to be doing an exhibition in Sudbury, Massachusetts, and I'll probably have it's a big room, and I'll probably have 55 16x20 images.
Okay, so you print for exhibitions, or do you print for your personal?
As I was telling you, so what I do is I print for exhibition, and I get questions, how much is this one or how much is that one, and then I basically tell them, what I do, and as I told you, I'll take their name and I'll ship it to them, and the proceeds, go to like a Nashua here, it's the Nashua soup kitchen down in Florida. It was the Hillsborough the homeless shelter in Hillsborough County, and that's what I do. So I do print for exhibition, but then if people want to buy an image, I take their information and I have it reprinted for them.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's your favorite processors? They use some good ones. Bayphoto.
I've used Bayphoto. I've used Hitek, HITEK, and those are basically the only two that I use. I've tried a couple of local shops in Tampa, but I don't know. I don't really want to give their name, because they weren't as consistent as I would like them to have been. 70% of the time I would get back images that were just incredibly sharp. And then if I did five, for example, four of them would be great. And then one of them, looked like, just soft as anything. And finally, I just said the heck with it. Unless you want to reprint it, and it happened two or three times, and then they basically didn't want to reprint it. So I said, all right, then I'll go through the mail. But those are the two. I think Bayphoto and Hitek Imaging are, they're pretty good. They'll work with you if you think that there's something wrong, Oh, and then there's another one that I've used occasionally.
No, it seems like most labs just don't get black and white. And they just don't do a good job with black and white.
Right. I think if you find a lab and once they start to know you, I think that they go sometimes, they try to suit you to make sure that maybe they'll put the same person that did, the print, maybe they'll have that person do it again. But black and white is very difficult unless you do it yourself. I've thought about it. But the investment is too much. The printer that I would need, would be about $6,000-$7,000, to get, a commercial heat press. That's about another, $9,000-$10,000. I just said, I first of all, I don't have the room for that. So I'll just do it for now anyway. And if I need it, I might consider it, doing it on my own, but, probably not.
Yeah. Especially going back and forth to Florida.
Yeah.
Drag all that gear with you every time.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but luckily, so I do take my computer and my camera, obviously, so when I'm down there, for 6 months, you know, I do a lot of shooting. I come home, put it on the computer, look at the ones that I like, and you know, within a day or two, you know, I'll have maybe two, three, or four, you know, going off to either Bayford or High Tech, and you know, it takes about 10 days to get them back. But you know, I'm willing to you know, to wait. It's really no problem, you know.
I have a question about how you frame your images. Most, probably like 90% of your images are very close to the person's face, but every once in a while I notice that you frame a little wider and get a little bit of their environment. Is there something that you say, hey, I want to get the background behind this person? Like, what makes you, how do you decide?
Well, let's see. What I do is, so like, I think there's one image, you know, of a lady with tattoos, you know, on her body and on her legs. I don't know if you saw that image. That was about, yeah. That I shot 3 months ago. That was in Ybor City. And the reason why I shot that a little wider, but it's still with the 110. But what I was trying to do is I was trying to show that she was right, you know, kind of like sitting outside of the tattoo shop. That's why I went a little wider with that. But you're right. Most of the images that I shoot are probably, you know, at the very, very most, 5 feet away, mm-hmm. you know, from the person. So, you know, and then there's a couple there that are pretty recent. And I don't know if you looked at those, because I just sent Bob a different link last night. And, there's one, you know, of a girl, of a young lady on a bicycle in Ybor City. Mm-hmm. And that was shot. Yeah, that was shot with the 23 millimeter. And that one there, I definitely wanted to get. If you look on the right hand side of that, at the image, there's a bus. So I wanted to give a little bit of, you know, what was happening, you know, in the background instead of just the face. So I wanted to show kind of like an urban scene where, you know, she's on the bike, she's traveling around, and with the bus also in the background. So. But those are, you know, the minority of the shots.
Yeah.
The majority, as you said, they're a little bit closer, you know, a little bit tight.
Okay. So just if you see an interesting story in the background, you might include it, but otherwise just the person.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. If not, yeah, that I really prefer the, you know, that face. Yeah.
Yep. Just head and shoulders.
That's it.
You have met so many people. Is there a moment that is like the most memorable moment to you during your journey doing street portraits?
You know, well, there are many, but I'll give you one story. I don't know if you saw one of my images, and it's a picture of a lady. She looks very surprised, and she has, you know, like a big hairdo. She looks very, very surprised, you know, and I think that was one of my memorable ones. As we started talking, you know, she told me about, you know, her career and, you know, she said, yeah, she said, I spent almost 30 years in the Navy. And I said, wow, you know, to myself. And so the reason why it was so memorable for me is that, you know, somebody that spent almost 3 years, you know, in the, hang on, 30 years, in the Navy is pretty much, you know, living out of a bag, you know, and then I couldn't understand that. And it left such an impression on me, you know, that, you know, you can work, you can retire, and blah, 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 but yet, here you are, you know, sitting on a bench pretty much the whole day through. So that was the one, I think, that really, you know, hit me the most. Yeah, and then let me tell you just one other one. I don't know if you saw it. It's an image of a young lady. She's not so young, but she has a hat, and she's leaning, you know, against the wall. She's looking down. I don't know if you saw that image.
I think I did see that one, yes.
Yeah, but that one
it was
there.
It was one of the few where they weren't making eye contact with you. I remember.
Exactly, right. Yes, yes. And this one here. And then again, you know, which was another one that was very, very memorable for me, is that she was actually, she was hard of hearing and she couldn't speak. So when I motioned to her, you know, she nodded with her head that it was okay for me to photograph her, mm-hmm. but she didn't want to look at me. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she couldn't speak and she couldn't hear. So she motioned to me, you know, and I said, you know, but, and I pointed at my camera and I said, you know, and then I pointed to her and then she nodded her head and, but she didn't want to look at me. Yeah. So honestly, it just, you know, I'm not one that will walk down, you know, the street and shoot, you know, a crowd of three people or 10. That's just not, you know, my style, you know, I'm more of the you know, the face to face, the eye connection. So I know there's a lot of street photographers. You know, they like to, you know, photograph people, a group of people. But for me, it's more that contact that I go for.
I mean, you've obviously really mastered this. Do you think it's because you basically do the same thing all the time?
I think, yeah, I could probably say, yeah, you know, because it's what I'm trying to capture, and so, you know, so I guess, you know, I don't want to downplay it, but like, for example, it's not that I'm waiting, you know, for the moment to occur.
Yeah.
I also try to make the moment, you know, I try to make it happen. So in a way, I think the answer is yes. You know, it's something I'm comfortable with, and so yeah. So I don't know if I'm a master at it. Certainly, I really, really enjoy it, and I feel extremely comfortable with it. So yeah. Maybe it's the repetition, you know, and I think it makes me more comfortable, more confident, and I'm always learning. I'm always learning. I always like to look at, you know, the lighting where I had that person, because I don't really, you know, I don't really do with the lighting, believe it or not. I don't say, you know, oh, stand here or turn around or come into the sun. I usually don't do that. It's basically where they are. And so I try to make a little bit of that moment happen as well. So it could be a little repetition, but it makes me more comfortable, I think.
I was going to ask about the lighting, because it appears most of them are in the open shade.
Yeah, they're in the open, obviously. I never use flash. And, yeah, I think I prefer the open shade because, you know, in direct sunlight, you always get that heavy shadow on the face, you know. So
yeah.
So I always try to tone that down as much as I can. So I do prefer, you know, shade, as opposed to, you know, direct sunlight.
Especially in Florida. I mean, it's just so harsh.
Yeah.
Okay, cast a shadow.
Yeah. Can't be without the sun in Florida, right?
Yeah. Yeah, up in Massachusetts or New Hampshire, you get a lot of overcast days, which I think is ideal for this type of photography.
Yeah. Well, I was going to go in, you know, I was going to go into Boston tomorrow and just do a little bit of walking around, but I don't know if I'm going to feel up to it if I do. So what I do from New Hampshire, instead of driving and, you know, finding a parking spot or going to the garage, that'll cost you $60. So what I do is I take a bus from New Hampshire here. For seniors, it's like $11 round trip. And so I go down, get off the bus, walk around for a couple of hours, hop on the bus, and I'm back home in an hour, you know. So, but I like to shoot in Boston too. New York City is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Geez, I mean, you know, you could spend a lifetime in New York City. You know, it's just an open canvas. The streets are, that's how I like to look at it. It's an open canvas. You know, every street is different. You know, you're not restricted to, you know, to my studio. Or I think it, for me, it's just freedom. And when I get tired, I go home.
Do you tend to stick to one area for most of the day, or are you just wandering around?
No, I'll walk around. Like, for example, the area that I've spent a lot of time the past couple of months, as I told you, was Ybor City. And then I also spend some time St. Petersburg. There's one street there. It's called Central Avenue. It's maybe 2 or 3 miles long. And I'll just walk, in and out of the back streets and so forth. And but usually my span is about 2 hours in a day. And then, then I like to call it a day and I'll go home. But, I'll just keep walking around. I might go by the same place, five times, or else I'll see somebody. And if I take their image, I'll say, hey, don't be surprised if you see me back here in a little bit. And I just keep walking. I just like to get lost.
I want to ask another thing. So you say you take people's photos, you get their email address.
So what I do is I give them my card, which has my email on it. And I say, if you want to send me an email, send it to this email address, salpadelano@gmail.com. I said, or else, if you want, I can send you, give me your email. And then what I do is I try to make a note, so-and-so, he was the one with the hat or there's one in there. Again, I don't know if you've seen it. There's a guy who's got a hat on that he's got a flower in his left ear, So I'll make a little note like that, a guy with a hat with the flower. And so I know who it is, And then, so I know who to send it to, but those are a few notes, and then if they do use my email, then I tell them, I say, when you write back, just describe a little bit about yourself so I'll know who you are, And I have a pretty good memory, that's all I really do. I either give them a card, tell them, to email me back, or else I'll ask them if they have an email, in one way or the other. But again, if they ask for images, I give them all the images, and Penny, I don't, absolutely 100% free. I never charge them.
How many people actually ask for their portrait?
For example, let's say that I take, an example. If I shoot 10 people, right? Mm-hmm. I bet you I'll get 4 emails.
Wow.
Out of 10. So maybe, about 30-40%, they'll ask.
Yeah, that's more than I expected.
Yeah, because what I do is as once I take a couple of shots, that's another thing that I do is if I've already taken, a couple of images of somebody to get them to know that, this is what I do. I'll show them a couple of images on my camera. And mm-hmm. I think that also kind of invites them to say yes. So once I do that, it's a little easier, to do that.
Then they say, this guy's legit.
yeah, pretty much. And like I said, I give them a card and really, I think I'm totally non-threatening. And I think they can see that, I think they can see that. Most people can see that, I think.
About how many do you take of each person?
I don't do any more than 3. That's the max. Yeah, sometimes it's 2. Sometimes, it could only be 1. But usually, 2 is about the average. And then the most that I'll do of one person, is 3. And that's it. I don't like to do, I just don't like to do, 10 or 15 of the same person. 3 is the absolute max. Yeah, and then I like to, search for somebody else.
Yeah, and that way you're not taking much of their time either.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because everybody's in a hurry,
So what's next for you? You mentioned earlier you've got another show coming up.
Yeah, I told you that that PBS station did a segment on me as a result of that. So I'm going to be doing The Good Now. I have an exhibition in Sudbury, Massachusetts for the month of June. And then in August, I have another exhibition in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. So that's going to keep me busy going back and forth for the next couple of months, And then in September, the end of September, I'm going to Italy for about a month. And then I'll be going down to Florida, and I'll be doing I think another couple of shows down there, one definite in January, which they've already asked me, they've asked me, somebody that does glass work, and somebody that does, paintings, three, and, kind of like a meet the artist type of a thing, you know, so that should be fun. And that's going to be the end of January. So I keep quite busy, but I love it. I can't tell you how much I love it. When I don't shoot, believe it or not, you know, I get antsy and, you know, I have to get my fix. And even if it's just walking around, yeah, I'm serious. So that's why maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, if I feel a little better, it'll be getting on the bus and taking some pictures. So
tell us, where can people see your work online?
Well, all right, I'll tell you what. So I don't know. I sent you a link the other day, and I don't know if mm-hmm. you saw the email. I said, you know, use this link yep. instead. Okay.
Yep.
That's one way to see some of it. Do you want me to also send you a link of my Flickr page?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah, because I have a Flickr page, and I'll do that. And I will also send you a link to the to the PBS TV station that they did last March.
Okay. Yeah, that's great, too. Send that. We'll put it all in the article. Everybody listening to this, just go to the article, and you'll find all of Sal's links.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I'll put them all in there. And obviously, I'll include my email. If anybody wants to contact me, they can to do so. You know, if they want to ask questions or have comments or anything, you know.
Oh, Sal, thank you very much.
Bob and Ashley, really, I thank you very much. Really, it's been quite thrilling and an honor for me to be on with you. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you. And hopefully we'll talk again soon sometime. And I thank you both. It's been a pleasure.